Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. On the third anniversary of the war in Ukraine, French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House with President Trump telling him.
He said he believes this war could come to an end in a matter of weeks. He also said that he would make a trip to Moscow when the timing is right. Now, if that happens, that would be absolutely remarkable, as we've seen Trump really stop trying to isolate Putin both diplomatically and economically.
ABC's Selena Wang. Millions of government workers facing a midnight deadline to respond to Elon Musk's government-wide email titled, What Did You Do Last Week? Employees told to list five accomplishments or risk losing their jobs. Multiple agencies, including the FBI, telling workers to pause their responses. Pope Francis remaining in critical condition, but the Vatican says he's shown slight improvement in lab tests and resumed some work. Vivek Ramaswamy, the 2024 GOP presidential candidate, officially announcing that he will be running for governor of the state of Ohio. This is ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Angry constituents converged on town hall meetings hosted by 6th Congressional District Congressman Glenn Grothman Friday. The Republican heard from voters in Algoma and Fox Crossing in rooms that were at capacity, with dozens still waiting outside. Those in the crowd were concerned about potential cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and the role of Elon Musk and his Doge office. Gas prices continue a downward trend, but it may not last. Melissa Kay reports.
Average gas prices have fallen 4.3 cents over the last week. The average today is $2.86 per gallon. This is 12.2 cents lower than a month ago and over 16 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say to enjoy the slight declines while they last. As we inch closer to March, the typical March madness will eventually take hold. With the changeover to summer gasoline, we're likely to see upward movement in the weeks ahead.
In Green Bay, gas is averaging $2.82 a gallon, down more than 5 cents. And in Appleton, you'll pay $2.83 for a gallon of gas, down 2 cents.
The Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA. I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome. And that's big. That's huge. Especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me. And it's been beautiful, honestly. So I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the upper 20s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high in the low 40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week. It's 46 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Maggie Dawn.
Superintendent Brittany Kinzer is endorsed by Moms for Liberty. What threats are posed to your kids' education by the candidate for the superintendency? We discuss with Dan Schaefer at 2:30.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. A tropical, almost balmy day here in Wisconsin today. Coming up at 7:20, Chad Franker will be here. A local boy done good from Marinette, Wisconsin, who created a business called Meal with a Friend. It's a great community builder and helps combat loneliness. Chad will be here in studio in just a few minutes to talk about that. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite chip? It is International Tortilla Chip Day, but we expanded the topic to hopefully draw more exciting answers than just tortilla chips. So join us in your love of chips. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always, you can comment on anything we're talking about here tonight at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, my guest right now, we have a few more minutes with our guest, Mariah Gates. Her book is out tomorrow. It's called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words. You can buy it in bookstores, online. There will be signed copies available soon. That's exciting. Mariah, I wanted to ask you, you list a lot of the directors that you talk to in the book and that you write about. I have to admit, I haven't heard of many of them, but I've always been kind of just in awe of Kathryn Bigelow. She is such a phenomenal director, and she directs films that typically, or stereotypically, you might say, guys, it seems like, direct. They're Hurt Locker, Point Break. I didn't even know she did that in 1991. I think that was her first major Hollywood studio film. Zero Dark Thirty. I really liked the movie Detroit, and I didn't even realize she directed it until I was watching the credits. Where does she rank on your list of not just female directors, but directors? She's had a pretty incredible career.
Yeah, I think she has definitely been an influence. A lot of the people I've interviewed, not for the book, but for my column, have cited her as one of the reasons they knew women could make films, or an example of the kind of films they would like to do and didn't necessarily think they could, but they saw her do it. And so they're like, okay, I can do this too. So I think she's definitely been an important figure in terms of visibility of women directing films and of women directing films that make a really big wave. Obviously, she was the first woman to win Best Director at the Oscars. And since then, there have been several and a lot more women nominated. I think she was only the fifth to ever be nominated. So Jane Campion, who is in the book, was the first woman ever to be nominated twice for Best Director. I think it'll be really wonderful when that statistic changes and we have multiple women with multiple nominations, the same way we do with men. So I think she definitely broke a really big glass ceiling with the Hurt Locker. Unfortunately, it seems like every once in a while they try to put a new glass ceiling up, but I don't think that will be successful.
I want to ask you about the Oscars, but I want to ask you, who in your book, Cinema Her Way, who did you enjoy talking to the most?
Oh, I mean, it was Gillian Armstrong. Not to dismiss all the other women who are amazing, but Gillian Armstrong directed Little Women, which is my favorite movie and has been my favorite movie since I was 8 years old, which is 30 years. And it was, I can't even believe she said yes. I literally screamed. So, and she talked to me for 3 hours and she talked to me about the most minute things. She's like, you have seen this movie too many times. I'm like, yes, I have. Please answer my questions. So it was as wonderful as all the conversations were, it was really surreal to talk to the person who made a movie that I've, you know, loved like on a molecular level for 30 years, you know.
That's so great. All right. So we have a few minutes left. What are your thoughts? Do you have a best picture favorite in the Oscars? Did the SAG Awards do anything for you?
In a perfect world, I feel like Nicole Boy should have been nominated for every Oscar.
I wish
Jomo Frey had been nominated for his cinematography. I think Nicole Boy is head and shoulders above everything that came out, like literally everything that came out last year. However, of the ones that did get nominated, I do think Anora is probably going to sweep. I think mostly because The Brutalist is really long and I don't know that everyone's going to sit through the 3 hours or they're going to think it doesn't deserve to be 3 hours. Anora is nice and brisk. It does a lot of interesting things with tone. It really lands it. I think it's been winning so many. It won the DGA and the PGA. One surprise that I think might happen, especially because it won the SAG Ensemble, is because they, for Best Picture, they do a weighted ballot. I do think Conclave is going to be like a lot of people's number two or number three, and that could potentially make it the winner. That's what I think what happened with Spotlight about 10 years ago, where no one saw Spotlight winning. But I think what happened was it was probably a lot of people's number two, and that adds up. The weighted ballot is really, or the preferential ballot is really why you get a film like in the Spotlight year, Mad Max won, I think, like 6 Oscars, and then Spotlight won Best Picture because of the chaos of a preferential ballot. So I think you could see Conclave come out, but I think Anora is probably the safest, like, sweep.
So you think Anora is a safe bet. How did you feel about Anora?
I really love that Sean Baker is a filmmaker who was able to follow the old school path. His very first film premiered at Slamdance, which is the micro indie film festival. Mm-hmm. And then his most recent film won the Palme d'Or. And I don't know that that's a path any filmmaker gets to have anymore. I think because of the financing and economics of filmmaking has changed so much. So I think it's a real, I don't want to say like a career capper because he's a young man and is going to probably make another 40 years with the films, but he's put in 20 years of like consistently good work. And I think it would be a really great thing to see him really just sweep this year.
You know, it's so weird. Like I saw Anora when all the hype was around it. Florida Project, which I just saw about 3 months ago, is one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. I think it's a masterpiece. I liked Tangerine. I liked Red Rocket. But Anora, I liked, but I don't think I liked it Best Picture liked it. Because, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. But then I noticed that Conclave, and I saw this statistic recently, the films that win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards, something like 26 of the last 30 years have won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that really has to do with two things. One, the last 15 years with the preferential ballot, and two, the fact that the actors make up the largest percentage of the Academy, the actors branch.
Okay.
And so the in terms of the how many actors are in SAG that are also part of the Academy, that number is a lot larger than, say, the number of directors who are in the DGA who are also Academy members. You know, so the correlation is a lot higher. And again, I do very much think Conclave is going to be probably some people's number one, but it's going to be on a lot of people's number two, number three. And I think that's going to add up because it's such a crowd pleasing film.
Right. It's so
and
weird.
There's no, as far as I know, nobody hates it. Like some of these films people hate, right? And so it's going to be all at the bottom.
Yes, the substance.
Film, I don't know anyone who hates Conclave. I think everyone at minimum thinks it's a fun film.
I feel the same about
really helpful.
A Complete Unknown. Like, I really liked it. I thought it was a really solid film. And I like Conclave, but I was talking to someone recently that said, well, the big twist at the end, I mean, come on, what are they doing? I'm like, that's what made it a great film for me. Like, I just thought it was okay and well acted until that. That to me.
Yeah, and then you it's very unexpected.
Yeah.
For how pulpy the rest of the film was. Yeah. And they pull it off.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, or The Brutalist yet because I live in kind of a remote area. But I probably will pay the $20 to watch Nickel Boys on my TV based on what you just said.
If you can at some point somehow see it in the theater, or listeners, if you haven't seen it yet and you want to see it in a theater, that one is such a special experience and so immersive. And truly innovative in a way that once you see it, you'll see what I mean. And I don't think any other film in terms of artistry and innovation can touch that film. But obviously artistry and innovation isn't always what ends up being Oscar voters' favorite thing. You know, I think this is a beautiful film. And it's not, I think a lot of people maybe are afraid because the subject matter is heavy, but it's not a heavy film. It's a really beautiful, empathetic film that is about the persistence of joy and the persistence of just life. It's an extraordinary film.
I'm so excited to see it now. One other film I wanted to ask you about. Amelia Perez, 13 nominations. Did they totally lose it with the Twitter scandal? Are they done?
I think they did. Yeah. That's a film that was very divisive. I think not with older voters. I feel like a lot of older viewers really love the film. And I think a lot of younger viewers are more, I think, perhaps aware of the various ways that film is not, shall we say, as progressive as it seems. Mm. There's a lot of trans writers have written about why it's actually a regressive film.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Mexican writers have written about how it's really a terrible version of their country. It does them no favors. But I don't know that a lot of voters cared about any of that, you know, because they love the film and they don't care about criticism. And that's perfectly fine. That is, they don't have to read criticism to enjoy a film. That's, it's everyone's prerogative. I personally did not like that film.
I
did not
either.
Understand. Specifically, the nomination that is the wildest to me is cinematography, because I think it's a garish film.
It's a weird looking film. Yeah.
I don't think visually it works. Whereas when you see Nickel Boys, I think you'll see what I mean about Joe Mofre, who did the cinematography. I think he is a poetic filmmaker and an emotional filmmaker, and does something with the camera that is so unique. And he's won almost every other award. It's really weird. He got the American Society of Cinematographers Award. He got the Independent Spirit. It's, I think, the biggest snub that came out of the Oscar nomination thing. It's baffling that he didn't get that nomination. I think he'll probably get nominated for his next film, whatever that ends up being, because he's another consistently great innovative filmmaker. But I think maybe, I don't know about what's going on with the cinematography brand.
It'll be interesting to see what happens either way. The book is called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words by Mariah Gates. You can find it in bookstores tomorrow or online. I'm sure it will be just as outstanding as everything Mariah writes. So much fun having you on the show all the time. Good luck with the book.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk soon.
Yeah. All right.
Mariah Gates. Coming up next, Chad Franker, a young man from Marinette, Wisconsin, a place I call my hood. He's got a great new business that helps combat loneliness. We're going to talk to Chad about that because I thought it was really inspiring. And we'll read your texts and all kinds of fun stuff. Who knows? Maybe Conrad will do a little soft shoe. Did you bring the cane and the hat?
I did not.
Oh, come on, man. You're killing me.
I forgot it in my car.
Yeah, likely story.
I'll just have to run out there quick.
All right, we're coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's Amanda with your new WISCO 411, sharing events of all varieties throughout the Valley and greater Green Bay area, especially ones that provide support and hope. Tuesdays between February 4th and March 11th from 6 till 7:30 p.m. at the Hyde Family Community Center, individuals can meet together for the Survivors of Suicide Loss Support Group. It's meant to be an open and safe place to share and connect with others. Registration is required as the groups are small. So for more information, go to wiss.fm and click events.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
We have a great question tonight. It's International Tortilla Chip Day. Everything has a day. And we are putting the question out. What is your favorite chip? You don't have to limit it to a tortilla chip, folks. What is your favorite chip? Conrad's dad checked in. I love this. Oh, no, it wasn't your dad that said this. Although your dad said Taco Doritos. He says the Taco Doritos will always be dear to my heart. But my new favorite chip is made by UTZ, the crab chip with Chesapeake Bay crab seasoning. You can't just eat just one.
I'll attest to that. Those are really good.
I don't think I've ever heard of those.
Yeah, maybe it's just a Florida thing. I don't know. But I only saw it when I went down there to visit them once. And those things were good.
All right. Did I miss? pardon me. No, I got that one. Okay. So let's go to from the 608. From the 818, Bridget says salted potato chips with ranch dip. Interesting. That's the first dip suggestion we've heard. You could just buy ranch chips, right? They have potato chips with ranch
flavor. It's not the same.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, have you heard of anything with hummus?
Listen, dude, I love hummus.
Yeah.
That is the voice of my next guest. Chad Franker is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a really cool business Chad has created. He's about to launch it. What is your favorite chip, Chad?
Well, I would say something that has health consciousness.
See, all right, I admire that, but yeah, that's what I was going for too at first, and then I realized if I'm going to eat chips, I'm not thinking about health. I've seen you at the gym. I see how hard you work too, so I appreciate the health thing. But AJ from the 608 says, hey, Pete, if you can find them, Lil Baby's brand of wrap snacks are out of this world. His flavor is salt and... Is that supposed to be Lil Baby Ray's?
No, it's Lil Baby. Baby.
Okay. She says his, or AJ says his flavor is salt and vinegar, barbecue, onion, garlic, and more. Yes, all together in one chip. Now that sounds like a taste explosion in your mouth. and Kenneth chimed in on the film Green and Gold. So if you have an opinion on that film, I finally saw it last night. Did you see Green and Gold, Chad?
No.
Okay. Are you a Packer fan? Yeah. And you like farming? Not to do for yourself, maybe, but just in general, it's a good thing. Chad doesn't really see the necessity for farming, so that's okay. All right, from the 608, Steady Eddie checking in. He says, Pete, Conrad, love chips, but we all know eating chips is not quite as bad as smoking cigarettes. The snack food manufacturers want you addicted. They don't care about your health. They want your money. Steady Eddie, come on. Big business wants our money. Get out of here. He says, that being said, chips are delicious, if not nutritious. I like nacho cheese Doritos the best. I have a strategy where I buy 2 1-ounce bags of chips when I shop at the grocery store. That way, when I get home, I can eat 2 whole bags of Doritos and not feel too guilty. It works for me. And then in all caps, sometimes, happy tortilla chip day. Steady, hold the cheese dip, Eddie. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's fun. Chips are fun. What's not to like about chips?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, exactly. All right, I'm going to bring in my next guest here. I'm excited because this guy is from my hometown and where I live right now, Marinette, Wisconsin. He made the drive to be here in the studio because he has a new business that he is launching called Meals with a Friend. And it's a great idea. I absolutely love this. Chad, tell us about Meals with a Friend and tell us when it'll be officially launched.
Well, Meals with a Friend is, we're in the early beginning stages where we trying to get volunteers lined up with people who are experiencing loneliness and isolation. And the pandemic was the first indicator of how loneliness and isolation can impact the cognitive health and the mental health and a whole slew of things.
Right.
Yes.
You really did your homework. I saw where you did all this research. And is what you learned about the pandemic what gave you the idea for this business?
Well, so retract that. I mean, so when I was 16 years old, I got hit by a truck and suffered a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So I've always known of the helping profession where how community can help build and help aid someone to be better. And,
right.
Yes. And so, I mean, then I, when I was in school to get a bachelor's of science in psychology and human development, I did an internship with the Hospice Advantage, and that was with hospice clients.
Okay.
And I sat with people that were near dead, that passed away.
Hmm.
And I say that reluctantly because I loved it that the families respected me enough to sit with their loved ones.
Right.
But they allow me to give that to them. So, and
you saw how much it impacted.
Yes.
And how that
could impact the love of the, how they didn't want to have the final idea of their loved one so bedridden. And
right. Yes. You talked about that too, and we'll get into this more after the news, but how community and people being there for you after your accident helped you heal and get to a place where you could create Meals with a Friend. Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that. Chad Franker is my guest. He is a fellow, he's from my hood. He's a fellow Marinette native. And don't let the fact I remember hearing about that accident, but you should see this guy at the gym. I wish I worked half as hard or broke half the sweat you break because I see how hard you work. So we'll talk more with Chad about his new cool business called Meals with a Friend, a business that is just such a great idea to help others who are feeling lonely. We'll talk more about the nuts and bolts of the business and get to know Chad a little bit more after. Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. It's Beach Waba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. There's some language in Governor Tony Evers' budget that is angering some Republicans. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is reporting Evers' budget bill recognizes same-sex marriage by replacing the terms wife, mother, father, and husband with gender-neutral language like spouse and person. In one section covering artificial insemination, the husband of the mother was changed to the spouse of the inseminated person. State Senate President Mary Felskowski said in a statement Saturday that, quote, it is disgusting to see the Evers administration attempt to erase mothers and fathers. A Green Bay man who just happens to be the 2024 NFL Fan of the Year and a huge Packers fan raised $1 million for charity. Content creator Tom Grossi started live streaming on YouTube a week ago.
We started streaming on Sunday, February 16th at 5 p.m. Eastern. It is 8:26 a.m. on Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. And we have raised $1 million for Children of Fallen Patriots.
Grossi set a time limit of 1 week for his fundraiser and a goal of $1 million. He reached that goal with hours to spare. All of the money raised goes directly to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, which provides college scholarships and educational counseling to military children who lost a parent in the line of duty. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower and a low in the upper 20s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high in the low 40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week. It's 46 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we welcome Zane Statz, a local graphic designer, painter, and incredible mural artist.
Plus, Harriet Redmond stops by to fill us in on the Fox Cities Kids Expo that takes place this Saturday.
Join us.
spotlight. We had Mike Starr, the actor from Goodfellas and Dumb and Dumber schedule. Mike had to reschedule because he has a work commitment, which often happens with actors. You have to take the money when you get it. But Mike is awesome. I cannot wait to have him on the show. But in the meantime, we have more awesomeness filling in. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us from Minnesota over the stream. I always have fun with Kristen. She's definitely a nightlight frequent flyer. And then mob expert and urban legend expert Bob Dennis will be here in the studio. So lots of fun guests coming up this week. Jamie McShane will be here from the show 1923. Rich Talarico from Key and Peele. And, of course, Bar Band Friday Night on Friday. So a fun week on Nightlight here. So great to have you with me, folks, wherever you're joining us from. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay, especially beautiful. Was it still warm out?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Yes.
Getting a little colder? Okay. But a gorgeous night here in the state of Wisconsin. What better way to celebrate good weather than to sit inside and listen to the radio, folks, and talk about the things that make us happy, like movies and TV and a really cool new business that my current guest created. Chad Franker is here. He's a Marinette native. The business is called Meals with a I wrote it down. Oh, Meals with a Friend. Chad, I got lost because I wrote my note down here. It's a meal with a connection.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about Meals with a Friend in case people are just joining us.
Okay. Well, Meals with a Friend is where we pair volunteers with people who or families that are worried about their loved ones and they're just missing that connection piece because as the pandemic has shown, loneliness and isolation is the silent pandemic. No one really talks about it.
Interesting.
But it's like blaring in your eyes and people still don't talk about it. Like they don't talk about how depressed they are or sad they are.
And yeah.
All they need to do is just talk to someone and interact. Right.
And you have an interesting, in this package you have, you haven't quite launched the business yet, but you're getting close. You talk about how loneliness affects people's cardiovascular and neurological makeups.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit. That's fascinating.
Well, okay. So loneliness and isolation, they did a study. They did a study in the University of Michigan, and they did a six-year longitudinal study where they showed that it's equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
How is that possible? That's insane.
Well, ask the researchers. I mean,
I know you didn't do the research.
No, but
that's amazing, though.
Yeah, and
so 15 just from loneliness. So here's what I think. This is so great, and this is why I wanted to have Chad on the show because there are so many lonely people out there that you don't know about because they're lonely.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not out there. They're not putting themselves out there. Let me ask you this though, Chad. I don't know if you thought about this. Like you pair people up together.
Yep.
What if they sit down and try to make a connection through a meal? It's called Meal with a Friend. Yep. What if a fist fight breaks out? Do you anticipate anything like that? Two people throwing down?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it almost happened between us, right?
Were you going to take a swing at me when you walked in here? I didn't realize.
Yeah, sure. So, but anyways.
You're still with someone though. It's still not loneliness. So
no,
that's good.
No, okay. But, and we try to pair because we're so new at this. I mean, we'll eventually create a website, website that people can log in and where they can actually say, hey, I want to have a meal with someone who plays, who's an outdoorsman or have a volunteer.
Like they have something in common.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
They come in thread and the other service that we provide is like a wellness check. And a wellness check is something where like the person goes into their house and they just make sure that everything is kosher and they're not going to like do any trip hazards or anything that's going to be problematic in the future.
What was there something that gave you this idea? Like something that you obviously, is there something that put this on the map for you? Like you said, I have to do something about this. Like when did you notice so many lonely people to the point where you thought this would be a good program?
Well, my TBI when it happened when I was 16. And
okay, let's stop you right there. Okay. Let's talk about that because that's the second time you brought that up. Yeah. I remember this because Chad and I have mutual family friends. You were a really good athlete in high school. Mm-hmm. You were a good student. You come from in Marinette, there are a lot of Frankers are synonymous with being good athletes. And you were one of those. You had a traumatic brain injury when you were snowmobiling, correct? Yes. All right. So talk about that, how that affected you and changed your whole life.
Well, okay. So I was January 28th of 2004. I was hit by a truck and I was put into a drug-induced coma for 6 weeks and spent 120 days in the hospital.
Wow.
As an inpatient. But the battle doesn't end there. I went all, like, my whole high school career, I was still doing physical therapy, occupational therapy. And, I mean, to this very day, I still bust my butt every day doing
you
something.
Do.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I went to spin class today at the Y.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and
I just want to say, all right, I want to say too, for those of you listening, I don't know Chad that well, but I see him around town and I see him substitute teaching. And you went, like you said before, when you got your degree in psychology, like this did not, you're just tenacious. Like you have a zest
Thank
for
you.
Life. I yes. see how hard you work at the gym. And now when I saw you in the grocery store and you told me about this new business, yeah. I thought this is great. We have yeah. to talk about this. So have you, because of your accident, experienced loneliness? Did that change
yes.
your life, as
yes.
you said?
Because I have a physical disability. My left side is partially paralyzed. And when I say partially paralyzed, it's like I can move it, but I don't have fine dexterity movement.
Okay.
And so I'm still recovering, but
okay.
I mean, it's been 21 years. So being a popular kid and then like the whole stages of like that honeymoon phase of the accident, people were all wanting to interact with me and stuff. That was like my whole high school. And then when the day after graduation and all of us parties ended, where was Chad's friends? They were nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so yeah, and then I went to college and still nothing happened. No new. I mean, there have been a few, I mean, so don't get that. Don't misconstrue that idea. I mean,
okay.
I mean, like you said, Mike Corwin, he's fantastic. And
yeah.
like unique people who see past my inability are people who help me help them.
Right.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
So I think that's great. So what you want to do, my guest, by the way, is Chad Franker. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's a great business that will provide wellness checks and emotional support to lonely people. He has dealt with loneliness in his own life and came away wanting to help others. And I think that's so great. He says loneliness affects people cardiovascularly and neurologically. People who are lonely enough, it can have the same effect, according to a study at University of Michigan, as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. How close are you to launching this? Does it take a lot of money to start a business like this, Chad?
I mean, with the lawyer fees and stuff, yes.
Because other insurance things, if you're going to go into someone's
yes.
home.
And LLC kind of, okay. and stuff. And to get everything, you have to get a lot of volunteers.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So, and you have to get a functional website.
Okay.
And I don't have either of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But I have like a makeup of that. Like,
okay.
So I have ideas and a start, but not like a functional website.
Okay.
Or
how are you? Do you have people helping? Like, are you business savvy? I'm not. I've tried to create businesses in the past. I haven't been very good at it. How are you with those skills? You got a nice packet here.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of great information. You obviously know what you're doing.
Well, I know I'm very resourceful, so
okay.
I know, and I'm not lazy, so
right.
I know what to do. I know how to get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when do you think this will be up? And what if people, if they want to volunteer or if they want to help you get the business up and running, how can they find you?
Well, they can search on Facebook, Meals with a Friend.
Okay.
Meals with a Friend.
Meals with a Friend. Okay. Yes. On Facebook.
Yep.
It helps, you're hoping to build stronger communities.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And you're hoping to do it one meal at a time. I love that. And, you know, I mean, breaking bread together is like the foundation of community in a lot of ways, right? You talk, it's social. So how can, if people wanted to volunteer, I assume when you go to people and you ask them for money or help or setting up the LLC or whatever it is, you want to tell them, hey, I've got so many people here. I've got 100 volunteers ready to do this. Mm-hmm. Is that something they can sign up for on Facebook?
Totally. Okay. And that's what I want to do with my, get a website, a functional website that can maintain that load and keep the data of like the clients and because we're dealing with humans.
Yeah.
So they have like everyone, they have wants and they have things that they don't want. And so keeping track of that all would be, anyone who has like experience with that would be very helpful talking in.
Okay.
Yep.
So if I told you I expect this business to be operational in 3 months and we set a date for you to come back on the show and say, Pete, my business is a go.
Yes.
Thank you for cracking the whip.
Yep.
Not that you need it, but would that help? I mean, are there people in Marinette that are helping you with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like Tim Stouse and I meet with a philanthropist at a company that Mr. Tom Baraboo set me up with.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, I mean, there's...
Tim Stouse has got a ton of money. We should encourage him just to give you a blank check, I think, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So if he's listening.
Yeah, he should be. But I mean...
Here's what we'll do. Conrad, let's do this. We can do our part, I think, tomorrow night on the show. We do a question every night.
Yep.
Maybe our question tomorrow night should be, what person would you want to have a meal with?
Yeah.
What lonely person in your life? Or even if you see someone on TV that you think is lonely. I think that could be a great... Who have you done this? I assume you've done this on your own just to get it going. Have you met with other people who you could see are lonely? And how did that go over?
Well, I met with my... I met with clients and
you seem like you didn't want to say someone's name because you didn't
want to. Yeah, okay, yeah,
it's totally HIPAA fine
and stuff. So they love it. I mean,
nice.
I mean, they were born in the late in the Depression and stuff.
Oh wow.
So they're not really aware of their. I don't know. I mean,
it's a different generation, right?
Different
like they're
generation.
Not going to ask for help. They're just going to sit there and be lonely as opposed to, because they associate that with toughness. Yeah,
they don't know how to help themselves.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's.
What if I go in to have dinner with a friend, a meal with a friend, and they just start yelling at me?
Well, then.
What do I do?
You
throw the mashed potatoes at them or
no,
what?
No, you can leave. I mean, this is all volunteer based.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we would, I mean, because hopefully both would be civil enough to realize that we are going to need something to do.
Right.
Yep.
I'm totally kidding anyway. You know I wouldn't do that. And sign me up. All right. We're going to be right back. We've got a couple more minutes. Chad's going to help us close the show down. We'll read some text. And we'll do that in just a couple minutes. It's so great to have you with me on this Monday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
All right, welcome back. Doesn't feel like a Monday, does it, Conrad?
I mean, yeah, it feels nice because it was warm outside, so it doesn't feel like a trapped Monday.
It's not as sucky as the usual Monday, yeah. I guess. Is
not a cold Monday.
I'm saying, exactly. Chad Franker is here. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's just a great idea to help combat loneliness, build community, do wellness checks, emotional support for people who need it. He has a website called Meals with a Friend on Facebook. Check that out. If you're interested in helping Chad in any way, being a volunteer, writing a blank check, whatever, find him on Facebook and reach out to him because this is just a phenomenal idea. And we've set a date. We're going to do this. Probably in about 3 months, we'll have you back. And I will expect your business to be up and running and you to be the CEO.
Well, I'm already the CEO.
You're already the CEO. Yeah, and the exactly. How is your, are you, like, you're such a social guy. Would you consider yourself a lonely person right now, Chad, or?
Well, before I started this business, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I did my normal routine. I saw people, like, working out and stuff, but I still felt lonely. I mean,
yeah.
I went home to my apartment. And who was there to greet me? No one.
I mean,
so that's what I'm. I feel like I'm helping combat.
Right.
Giving something for other people to look forward to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so amazing because, like, you come from a good family. You know, you're loved and you have a family around you, extended and immediate. But still, you can't be around your family all the time, just like most people can't. And a lot of people probably are going home to an empty apartment. Yeah. Or an empty house. So, and I'll say even, like, I knew who you were, but I didn't think you knew who I was. So, like, I'd see you at the gym, and I'd nod if I saw you, but I didn't know if you even knew who I was. So I didn't want to be that guy that just walks around saying hi to everybody. Yeah. When I probably should be, right? Yeah. Because you're, okay. All right, Chad. So what I do with most people who come on the show, I try to find out what they're watching. Where do you find entertainment? This is an entertainment-based show. You said you don't watch a lot of TV.
Nope.
Movies? Do you ever watch movies?
Podcasts.
Okay, what are you listening to?
Well, the Huberman Lab podcast.
What is it?
The Huberman Lab.
Humorman Lab podcast. Yes. Who's that?
Andrew Huberman.
Right and is here. It a comedy podcast?
No, it's all right here. So.
Oh, okay.
So,
what kind of topics does he tackle? How to enhance your immune system?
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
Dude, does that get boring after a while?
No, I mean, it does a little bit, but.
I mean, we all need a good immune system, but I would think after like an hour of that, well, you might want to.
And his episodes are like three hours long, and I just listen to him when I go down to Green Bay or on my drives. And,
okay. How often do you come down here to Green Bay? You're not in school anymore, so.
No, but quite a bit because for my doctors, and so, I mean, every couple of weeks.
Okay. So you were, as I mentioned earlier, you were a good athlete and you played sports. Like a lot of kids in Marinette, you probably played like four sports in 1 year. Are you still a sports fan? Do you follow sports?
Yes. Okay. Hockey, for sure. Because that was my best sport.
Really?
Yep. And side note, I was better than my brother. So there's a little caveat there.
And your older brother?
Yep.
That's Ryan.
Yes.
Okay.
And
would he say the same thing?
No. It's a little feud that we have between each other, but.
That's cute.
Yeah. And, I mean, football, baseball, and hockey is what I played.
Okay. And you still follow sports? Like, are you a Packers, Bucks, Brewers, all those teams?
Yeah.
Badgers?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep, yep.
What's your favorite team, would you say?
Probably Brewers.
Okay. So I'm going to give you, I think, I just saw the movie Green and Gold about a guy who bets the farm. He literally bets his own farm that the Packers will win the Super Bowl and hopes that the bank will let him keep it because he doesn't have any more money. So I think you should check that out.
The Ice Bowl, right?
It was not the Ice Bowl. It was like in the 90s. It was when Favre was quarterback.
Okay.
So it's not that old. But I think you should check it out when you come back on to talk about Meals with a Friend. We can talk about that movie because I know you're a Packer fan.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Yes. And I actually have a Brett Favre signed football.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I actually have, like, during my accident, I saw the inside Lambeau Stadium. Like,
like a tour?
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But, like, in deep from Red Batty. He was the Packers athletic trainer at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Was he helping you through your injuries or whatever?
No, he...
Okay.
Because it was Mark Husen who was in it. Trainer at there and stuff.
Is Mark Husen, isn't he the guy that's on with Mino and the mayor?
Yeah.
He was at the party the other day.
He was?
So do you know Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We should get Mark on the show, by the way. I don't think he liked me personally, but I'd still like to invite him on.
Sounds good.
He was really avoiding me at the party.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
It was that look you had in your face.
Chad, thank you so much for coming down. You drove all the way down here to be on the show. I really appreciate that. I wish you luck with this business. I think it's great. I think it's just a beautiful idea, and I hope you're incredibly successful with it.
Thank you very much, Pete.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right, that's Chad Franker. Check out Meals with a Friend on Facebook. You can sign up, volunteer to have meals with another person who might be lonely, or help Chad out business-wise if you have business skills or a blank check or whatever. But he's a great guy, and good luck with the business. I'd also like to thank Mariah Gates, who... Go ahead. You got about 15 seconds.
I have a website too, mealswithafriend.com.
Mealswithafriend.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And because it's a startup website. So, okay. I mean, it's in the process of getting going. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you want a picture of me for the website, Chad?
Always.
All right. Very good. Thank you also for all your texts and all the talk about chips. You can't go wrong with that. Tomorrow night, it's Tuesday, but it won't feel like a Tuesday if you join us. I promise that. It's Peach Wobble with Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Don't take me some time. It don't worry no goodbye.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Matt Nair on Air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
with
whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. On the day marking 3 years since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Trump today optimistic about an end to the war.
A lot of good things toward peace are happening, moving it, I think, pretty quickly.
Trump welcoming French President Emmanuel Macron to the White House today. France's leader cautioning it's crucial that any potential agreement with Moscow does not amount to surrender for Ukraine. Confusion for about 2 million federal government workers who received an email demanding they explain what they accomplished last week. On his platform X, Elon Musk saying failure to do so will be taken as a resignation. Deadline's midnight tonight. At least four major agencies, though, telling their workers you don't have to respond, including the Justice Department, State Department, and the Department of Defense. Pope Francis remaining in critical condition, his 10th day in the hospital, but the Vatican reporting that he has seen slight improvement after taking a difficult turn over the weekend. This is ABC News.